The Overcome Today podcast aims to encourage, inspire, and empower through real-life stories. My prayer is that when you listen to each episode, you're pointed to Jesus, who loves you with an everlasting love. Remember, your story has power, and when you share it, it can help someone know that they're not doing life alone. But most of all, that navigating life without Christ is pointless. Hello, Overcomers, and welcome to episode 108, the final installment of the four-part series Against the Culture. Last week's episode was fire. Y'all need to go and listen to it and give me your honest opinions about it. Thank you so much for those who are able to give their feedback. Surprisingly, it was actually positive. I remember I got a WhatsApp message from a friend who said, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for those messages. They are tough to listen to, but they are so needed in this generation. So, asante yani. I can just say, ni Mungu tu, ni Mungu. All right, so the overarching scripture, if this is your first time listening to it, I encourage you to listen to the other three episodes, which is episode 105, 106, and 107. And we have been looking at the scripture, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I'll read it in the Amplified Version, which is my favorite in this specific portion of scripture. Romans 12, 2. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. Now, there are millions, and I mean millions, of worldly trends out there that I could not touch on, but maybe in future episodes. You know, if there's something you think I should tackle, let me know, but I will also tackle them as the Lord leads, because I am not an expert. I am just like y'all, just getting through this life, getting to know this Jesus, and getting Him to, you know, tell me how to go. But my prayer for you and I is that we will hide Romans 12:2 in our hearts, so that we may not sin against God. Now, today we are looking at manifestation, praying to the universe, burning sage, practicing yoga, love and light, the stars aligned, horoscopes, in short, these new age trends. Now, believe it or not, some of these new age practices are creeping into the church today. We have Christians who follow star signs. They say, I'm a Pisces. You know, us Scorpios, we behave like this. We also have Christians say, I'm manifesting a beach holiday. Or, I manifested this car and I got it. We also have Christians say, love and light, you know, as they are signing off on their Instagram captions or whatever. And it all sounds good, right? But do we even really know what we are saying? Do we really know what demonic activity we are endorsing? Or is ignorance bliss? Or is it, you know, everyone's doing it nowadays, so hey, it looks like it's okay. It doesn't look harmful, right? So let's look at what's happening. We need context, especially for those who may not be aware of this trend. Some of you may be. I mean, some of you are with it and you've noticed all these things happening. Now, there's a lot of history regarding the New Age movement, and I encourage you to do your research and understand the roots of this belief. For the sake of those who may not know, now, the New Age is a term that describes the collection and acceptance of all religious views, collection and acceptance of all religious views, and the acceptance of all spiritual practices to reach a heightened sense of enlightenment and procurement of knowledge. Now, New Agers reject the belief in one all-powerful God and instead believe that everything is one and that God is in everything. They believe that self is a seat of the divine. That is, there is a God aspect within each one of us. meaning a tiny sliver of God in every person. Now, before the New Age movement was the New Thought movement. It affirmed the belief in the divinity of each individual. It believed that thoughts are things, and the idea that positive thinking has the power to change the world. I don't know if you guys remember, I think it was the early 2000s or mid 2000s, there was this book that came out called The Secret, and it was such a fad, and I think some people still like are into it today. And that's where it all started. Sometimes we think these things are new. Not really. So what are some of the practices within the New Age movement? Now, New Age customs can be broken down into two categories. That is occult practices and humanistic practices. Occult practices involve contacting the spirit world and accessing the spiritual dimension, often through altered consciousness. Now, this includes channeling, crystal work, tarot card reading, astrology, and various forms of spiritual healing. Humanistic practices are those focused on self-sufficiency, self-improvement, and the development of the God element within the self. Now, some examples, and some of them may shock you: yoga, meditation strategies, studying New Age texts, creating a positive environment, and communing with nature, being one with nature. Now, many New Age groups believe in alternative scientific systems and natural or spiritual healing practices. Alternative medical practices like acupuncture, chiropractic adjustment, natural foods, and herbal remedies are common. And I will sort of try and explain some of these before y'all just come at me and say, oh my God, are you trying to say that I cannot take my herbal teas? Chill out. Okay. Now let's look at some of the New Age practices that are infiltrating the church today. And when I was doing research around this, I realized that so many of these New Age practices have come into the church. But I will focus on a few, and we will also see what the Bible says. So number one, yoga horoscopes. We see many Christians today practicing yoga, especially those who don't like high intensity cardio or weight training. And before I get into it, I'll give a personal testimony that this happened to me actually. A few years back, I was like, I think in around 2014, I was like, me, this whole cardio, surgery, HIIT exercises, those are not for me. I need something easy and chill, but it's still, you know, exercise and fitness. So I started to do yoga, and until a friend like bust that bubble for me and told me, Carol, do you really know what you're doing? And I was like, what? It's harmless. You know, I'm not doing anything seriously. And at that time, I saw it as harmless. And some of us see it as harmless, right? But I'll be honest. When my friend told me to do some research into it, I stopped immediately. Like, first of all, I even like prayed about it, and God was like, yeah, chick, cut off that thing. Now, if you didn't know, each pose in yoga is bowing to a specific pagan deity. It's not just stretching. It is idolatry. And remember when I said ignorance is not bliss? We see this in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Yo, this thing was, when you read it in context, you'll understand why God was saying these words through Prophet Hosea. But yo, like for real, this applies to us today. We can't be like, oh, I didn't know. Me, I'm just doing it. Please investigate the background and the history of yoga. Now, horoscopes. Now, this is when we identify ourselves by our star signs. And we think that we have this type of personality because the star sign said so. So if you were a teenager or a young adult in the 90s like I was, there was an obsession to go to the back pages of the Daily Nation or the local dailies to read what our star sign would say would happen that day. I remember doing those things, by the way, and it hit me that it was foolishness. It took me a while to realize. And there are some who go see psychics or hand readers because they think it's harmless to know about your future. Everywhere that astrology is mentioned in the Bible, and it is associated with pagan idolatry. Let's look at a few scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 to 12. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6. If a person turns to mediums and necromancers, and I had to find out what necromancers are. Necromancers is a person, a necromancer is a person who uses witchcraft or sorcery to foretell the future. So it says, if a person turns to mediums or a person who uses witchcraft or sorcery to foretell the future, whoring after them, I will set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31. Do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Do not seek them out, and so make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. And for those who are thinking, Carol, you're just reading Old Testament. Old Testament, trust me, is still the Bible. It still applies to this day. And yes, there's grace. But we also see this in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Yo, guys, these are harsh penalties. Harsh penalties in the Christian faith if you follow these things. As I said, ignorance is not bliss. We all need to know that there's only one God who knows our future, who holds our future. And that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one true God, Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He may not explicitly give you every detail of your future because he wants us to walk by faith, but he promises that he has a good plan for us to give us a hope and a future. And that's in Jeremiah 29:11. Now, the second New Age practice, and some of you are wondering, how is this New Age? Is believe in yourself. That's another one. Believe in yourself. Now, this New Age slogan glorifies yourself and says that you need to follow your heart. Now, this New Age slogan glorifies yourself and says that you need to follow your heart, that we should follow our feelings, and that our emotions are indicators of truth and guidance. People are often told to do what feels right. Now, this sounds good initially, but scripture reminds us that trusting in our own minds and our hearts is foolish. The danger of following our hearts is that the enemy can use our emotions to confuse us and lead us astray from God's will, causing us to sin because, in quotes, it feels good. Jeremiah chapter 17, 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Proverbs chapter 28, verses 26. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Now, the third New Age practice is the law of attraction or manifestation. Now, this is a belief that if we think positively and have faith, we will get whatever we desire from God. The law of attraction is based on the idea that like attracts like. Now, teachers of the law of attraction or manifestation will often tell you to believe, imagine, or visualize what you want from God, and he will make it true for you. However, as believers, we ought to remember that our full reward is in heaven. When we desire things, especially earthly treasures, we ought to ask for his will to be done, not ours. We should be surrendering completely to the plan God has laid out for us and seek to live a life that glorifies him, not us. We are called to trust and love God above all, not the things of the world. And we see this in 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The fourth practice is monism. I hope I've said it right. Monism. So monism is a spiritual understanding of the world which claims that God and the universe are an essence or energy. Now, there is often a focus on how we are all the same and one with the universe. Monism focuses on harmony, unity, and oneness. Now, think about this worldview for a moment. Where do evil and sin fit into the equation? They don't. We have not been instructed to live as one with all people. Live in the world and love others, yes, but we are to be different. Now, the New Age movement teaches all people can stand together with one voice, but the reality is quite different. There are those who know the Lord and those who don't. These two groups have wildly different worldviews, interests, and allegiances. Moreover, biblical teaching identifies the importance of separating from the world and not partnering in too intimate a way with unbelievers. We see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 17. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you. John chapter 15, verse 19. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. The fifth practice we're going to look at is pantheism. Now, this is when we cannot make a distinction between the creator and the creation. Pantheists believe that God is a sum of all creation and the forces within it. They might tell you that God is all we see around us, including the cosmos, wind, or mountains. I don't know if you guys have seen those guys. You know, God is in the trees. God is the trees. God is the sun. God is the water. And he created it, but this belief reduces God to an impersonal deity and denies the exclusivity of divinity to one God. As believers, we need to understand that God created everything. He did. And he himself is not a creation. He is quite separate from his creation. And we see this in the following scriptures. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. So as you can see from those scriptures, there's no one point you're seeing that these are, God is separate from creation. He is not the creation itself. Now, the sixth practice is we are little or mini gods. Now, the idea is that because we are children of God, we are also mini gods and can obtain anything we please because we are also divine in nature. Now, we see this in the church when individuals focus on serving self and their desire for money, fame, and material wealth. They present the idea that Jesus died so we can have all we want here on earth. While this may sound good to the itching ears, the Bible consistently teaches us that God is holy, righteous, omnipresent, and omniscient. Yet man is full of sin and has only been made blameless before God through the death of Christ and not on our own innate divinity. Now the seventh one is all roads lead to heaven. Now, this is a teaching that one can believe in Jesus and practice other faiths. They believe that there are many spiritual or religious paths to God in heaven. And I have to say this, was once said by my once role model. I want to call her, I used to really look up to her until I heard her say this statement, that there are many ways to God. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All right, so those are just some of them, but I'll just give you a few bonus ones, a few bonus New Age practices that have infiltrated the church. There are so many, and you can, I can share with you some of these resources that I got this content from. giving self glory instead of God glory. Now, in the new age, positive affirmations are used to boost confidence. These affirmations do not work, which is proven by the fact that you have to keep saying them repeatedly. Now, the Bible teaches us that our purpose is to glorify God in all we do. And we've seen this in the past few episodes, that it's about God and it's not about us. Another one is praying to angels. Now, nowhere in the Bible does anybody call upon an angel. No one is praying to the angel. No one prays to Archangel Michael in the Bible. Now, Paul says that we should not worship angels in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 8, we see that when the apostle John, when he was writing, when he was having a vision, he bowed before an angel. The angel told him to stop bowing because the angel recognized that it's only God who deserves the glory. He's the only one who deserves to be worshipped. He's the only one we can pray to. So what does God expect us to do? If we get wrapped up in these new age practices, he expects us to destroy it. He expects us to repent and rid of our life of that sin. And I encourage you, there's so many testimonies online on YouTube that people who are once in the new age practice and the new age trends in the occultic are sharing their testimonies of how they came to know Christ. And I encourage you to listen to their testimonies, and you'll be amazed at what some of the beliefs that we think are, you know, just chill or look nice. And as you saw there, that angel, I mean, Satan disguises himself as the angel of light. That's what he's doing in this generation. Now, in Acts chapter 19, verses 18 to 19, we saw the change that was happening in the early church. And I'm going to quote this. Also, many of those who are now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it to come to 50,000 pieces of silver. We need to remember that the Holy Spirit who lives within us is the giver of all knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. May we never forget the gift of the Bible. It's important that we know the word for ourselves so that we're not easily deceived, since we are anchored in God's truth. And we see this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, when Jesus was saying these words, "For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." The very elect means people who are so confident in their walk with God that even they will be deceived. So never think that, you know what, me, I'm a Christ believer. These things cannot move me. I am good. Unless you are consistently and constantly pursuing Christ and reading his word and praying and, you know, meditating on scripture, all those things, trust me, you can easily be deceived. But we must never forget the warning words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy verses 4, chapter 4 and verse 3. "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. There is no need to look to the world for truth or guidance. Our Father has provided us with everything we need to know to live a righteous and God-honoring life. Keep your eyes and heart fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." Did you like this episode and feel inspired to share your story? If you'd like to get featured on the podcast, fill in the Google form in the show notes below and I'll contact you. You can also follow me on social media at Overcome Today and send a DM or email me overcometodaypodcast@gmail.com. That's it for this week, folks. I really hope you enjoyed this four-part series. I know. It's not for enjoyment. This was a really tough one, man. This was tough. And not just for you to hear, but also for me, because it was convicting me on a daily. However, we need, you know, as Romans 12:2 said, we need to mature spiritually. And maturing spiritually means that our eyes are opened and our minds are open and our ears are open to things around us that may be deceiving, that the enemy might disguise as light, that the enemy might disguise as truth, for us to be alert and aware of what the enemy is doing, and for us to really be separate from the world and be salt and light as God has called us to. And this way, we will bring so many more into his fold and into his kingdom. So I encourage you to please share this episode with a friend so that they can be encouraged, they can be inspired, they can be empowered to live boldly for Christ. And until next week or until the next episode, bless. Thank you for listening to the Overcome Today podcast. Want to support the podcast? Leave a review or a rating on whatever platform you're listening to this on. Also, I'd love to hear from you. If you're on Instagram, let me know what your favorite part of the show was by taking a screenshot of the episode you've tuned into and share it on your story. Tag me at Overcome Today and let me know what your takeaway from today's show was. Remember, you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you.